Hey, Score North listeners, it's Phil Mackey here. And starting Monday, September 23rd and running through Friday, September 27th, we at Score North are raising money to feed and change the lives of Twin Cities homeless. We're calling it Score North's Mission for Meals, supporting the Union Gospel Mission Shelter in St. Paul. We're auctioning off some awesome sports-related packages, including Twins playoff tickets with luxury transportation to the ballpark, a Gopher football tunnel experience, a Vikings-Packers package, also live show sit-ins with Glenn Perkins, Alex Spoon, and a lot more. Money raised will go directly into helping transform the lives of Twin Cities homeless. ScoreNorth.com/missionformeals is where you can see all the packages. That's ScoreNorth.com/missionformeals. Or if you just want to donate, you can go to the same website. $1.96 provides a meal and shelter for a homeless person. ScoreNorth.com/missionformeals.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Welcome into Raised by Wolves. Training camp is 1 week away. We've got fake basketball very soon, Manny. Training camp starts 1 week from today. It's September 24th. So media day next Monday, training camp next Tuesday and Wednesday in Mankato. And then the Wolves will be returning to Mayo Clinic Square for the rest of their training camp. And then they just they get rolling sooner than later. But it's an exciting time.
It's getting closer and closer. Every week we sort of open the show with this thought. But, yeah, every week it gets closer and closer. And I'm just really excited to see how this team is going to look, because there are a lot of new moving parts. There's still a lot of same faces, obviously, and everything. But I'm really curious to see how some of the new parts start to sort of factor into how good this team can be, because they're going to be up against it, obviously, with the schedule, as we talked about.
Sure.
And with how deep the Western Conference is, it's going to be tough, but it'll be interesting to see how everything sort of plays out as we get started.
So as we get closer and closer to the season, I figured this would be a good time for you and I to lay down some bold predictions or things that could happen, might not. But, you know, it's fun to dream, it's fun to speculate, and it's fun to do that. Because if there's a time of year to do it, it's right now. We can talk about the things we're most interested in until we're blue in the face. But I think it's a good time now for our bold predictions of the offseason. I asked you and myself to both come up with three of them for today's podcast. And we'll start with you. Give me your first bold prediction for the Minnesota Timberwolves for the 2019-2020 season.
Okay, don't laugh.
Okay.
But you're going to laugh anyway.
I might.
Andrew Wiggins will shoot 40% from three-point range.
See, I don't think it's bold. Mm-hmm. But that's not like I'm not going to laugh at it. I think that there are spots on the floor,
right,
and Wiggins is part of mine. Yep. Is part of one of my bold predictions. I don't have that per se, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I think he can, if you put him in the right spots on the floor, which I do think that this organization has looked into each and every way of doing that. If you put him on the right spots on the floor, that's not the most outlandish thing to say. Now, I don't necessarily think he'll be at or near 40%, but I think that he'll be better than he was, just because I think he'll be utilized in a smarter way.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a super high volume of three-point shots, but I think we'll see a high volume of shots from three from him where he can shoot them the best, which
yes.
is mostly in the corners.
Yes.
I think if they can find a way to get him shooting a lot of corner threes, I think there's an outside shot that he can get at or at least near 40%, as long as they're good looks and he's not taking just the bad, ill-advised shots that he basically has 5 years of history of taking.
How crazy would it make it? How much better would it make his value if he shot 40% from three? What does that change then about next offseason? Because if he shoots 40% from threes, that contract still isn't going to look good.
Right.
But it's going to be a little bit easier to move with, one, a year left on it, and two, someone that, okay, you just went out and shot 40% from three. Now, some people might want to say, okay, do it again, but it's a step in the right direction. I think that could clear up some things next offseason if that's actually the case.
Yeah, I think that is best case scenario for Andrew Wiggins this season, is if the Wolves can find some way to utilize him as well as they can, and to boost whatever value that he may have. It's obviously not going to be – it's never going to be high value because of the contract, and he just really has not lived up to expectations. But best case scenario for the Wolves is that they find a way to boost some of the value, make him as easy as possible to move, because this contract is going to prevent them from, I think, getting to where they need to be. Eventually, they're going to have to find a way to get off of this contract and move it.
Yeah.
And I think best case scenario for them is to try and boost his value as much as possible to maybe move him next summer. It's going to be really hard to move him at the deadline or anything like that. But trying to move him next summer, I think, is realistic if they can get him to play, to take his game to a little bit of a better level.
I think that's a good, bold prediction. That's exactly the type of thing that I'm looking for. I don't know how confident I would be of it coming true, but mm-hmm. It's something that certainly is possible. It's not necessarily crazy, and it is something that really could help to clear the way next offseason. Or if nothing else, maybe you do get something out of Andrew Wiggins. Maybe he becomes a player. While he's never going to be worth the $27 or $28 million he's making this year, maybe if he shoots 40% from three, maybe he's worth 18 or 19, and that helps you out exponentially. It makes you so much better as a team.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, what's your first bold
prediction? So the first one I'm going to go with, and I just wrote about this for ScoreNorth.com, is that Karl Anthony Towns will get his first ever MVP vote. He's not going to win the award.
Right.
I don't know where he's going to finish, but Karl Anthony Towns will appear on somebody's MVP ballot.
Now, how much of that will have to play into how many games the Wolves win this year? His numbers are always going to be good.
I think it's going to be more of a numbers thing than it is going to be a how many games the Wolves win next year. And I'm glad you asked about that, because when you dive into that, that's where it becomes sketchy. There, since the MVP voting was revamped in, I believe it was Carl's rookie year, it was the 2016-17 season. It was the year that they revamped the MVP voting. They cut down on the number of voters, so there's only 101 voters now. There's only been one player to ever miss the playoffs and get one MVP vote, and that was LeBron James last year in LA. Mm. Now, for this to happen, there is a bit of math that goes into this. So last year, Carl's usage rate was, I believe, 28.9 last year, career high for him. So it jumped up a little bit, and it certainly jumped up. But part of it is the first 13 games of the year with Jimmy Butler skews the stats a little bit in the wrong direction. So you have to think that usage rate, let's call it around 30, because it was different in the last 64 games versus the first 13 that he played.
And Cat was not playing well in those first 16
games. No, Carl was averaging just under, a shade under 20 points per game when Jimmy Butler was still on the team, and then Jimmy Butler left. He was averaging over 25 points a game. So that gets us to what his season numbers were, where he was at 24.4 points, 12.4 rebounds, and 3.4 assists. So let's just say that the rebounds essentially stay where they're at. Mm-hmm. Maybe they dip a tad, but he's still going to be around 12, right? I don't necessarily know that there's a ton of room for that to improve, but I also don't think it decreases at all.
And that's fine.
Totally fine. Yep. Averaging 12 and a half rebounds a game is terrific.
Yep.
I don't care who you are. That's not a number that needs to be improved. If that is Carl's peak in that category, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree.
But I think his usage will go up. And the fun comparison to make always, and the easy, lazy one to make, is Houston, because Gerson Rosas spent so much of his career in Houston with the Rockets. And the way they ran their offense, just explicitly through James Harden. I think it's going to look different here, obviously, because they are two different types of players. But I think the Wolves are going to be running their offense more and more through Karl Anthony Towns than they ever have. So is his usage rate going to be as high as Harden's, where it was a league-leading 40.5 last year? No. Like, it's a little silly to expect that.
It's off the charts.
Could it be 35? Could it be 33? Joel Embiid was second in usage rate last year in the NBA at 33%. Can Karl get to that number? Because if Karl's at that number, those 25 points per game he was averaging after Jimmy Butler left the team, that's going to jump up closer to 30, right?
Yeah.
And then you're going to be looking at Karl potentially finishing third in the scoring race behind James Harden and Steph Curry. And while the Wolves might not be a playoff team, if they're somewhere around 36, 37, 38 wins, where Las Vegas thinks they will be, I think someone's going to put Karl Anthony Towns in fifth place on their MVP ballot. That's the math that got me there.
What was AD's usage rate before, like, the trade requests and all that stuff came out?
I would have to go. I don't have that prepared for me right now. I would have to look it up, and I'd have to
When I think of Karl Anthony Towns having a high usage rate, I mean, the first comparison I think of is just how New Orleans use Anthony Davis, where, yeah. I mean, he was just getting pretty much every look that you could ask for in that offense because, I mean, he was the clear-cut best player.
So the best thing to do if you want to make that comparison might be the 2016-17 season for Davis. That was
sure.
They didn't have DeMarcus Cousins. They ran everything through Anthony Davis. He was healthy. He was in good graces in the organization.
Yeah.
His usage rate was 32.6. So I think Carl can be a little bit above that. I think sure. that especially if they're going to want to optimize their offense with Carl Anthony Towns, I think it's going to be around 35, which seems like an incredibly large number, and it is. That'll be like second or third in the NBA at worst, and if it's that high, his numbers are going to also follow suit and be insane.
Could he average 30 a game?
He could average 30 a game.
Well, efficient he is.
Yeah, and I also think he's going to be taking a couple more three-pointers per game, and he mm-hmm. shoots the ball at a 40% clip from three, so I don't see any reason that that's going to change. So if he's shooting there and you can find a way to add 5 or 6 points a night, the biggest thing is he has to stay out of foul trouble for all this to yeah. be possible. He led the league yeah. last year in personal fouls. If he does that again, then this scenario goes out the window.
Yeah.
If he finds a way to stay out of foul trouble, we're looking at Carl Anthony Towns being on someone's MVP ballot. He becomes the second player in the last few years to be named to an MVP ballot despite not being on a playoff team. And I think it's something that's bold, but it's something that's possible. There's an avenue to get there.
Can't pick up those two quick cheap fouls in the first 4 minutes of a game, Cat.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. You cannot afford that if you're Carl, but there's a way to get there. And I think it's really interesting. Interesting enough for me to write about it at scorenorth.com. So go check that out if you want more. There's a little bit more math. And I think also part of it is I think you can make the case that Carl Anthony Towns is the loneliest top 15 player in the NBA.
Yeah.
Because if you take a look at who all the players that are better than him are, and even if I have him at 13 in the NBA right now, even if you take a look at the guys behind him, they've all got someone else capable of shouldering the load. And is mm-hmm. Andrew Wiggins capable? Maybe in a different reality, but what he's shown us is that he's not. He's not a sidekick. That's what right. we've seen so far.
Yep.
But everyone else seems to have a sidekick. And that plays into it, too. If you look at James Harden or Russell Westbrook, who's right behind Carl Anthony Towns, well, he's with James Harden, who's one of the 5 best players in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Steph Curry, he's got Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and D'Angelo Russell. LeBron has Anthony Davis. Kawhi Leonard has Paul George. Rudy yeah. Gobert's got Donovan Mitchell. I mean, the list goes on and on yeah. and on. And maybe Kyrie Irving doesn't this year because Kevin Durant's likely not going to play.
But we've seen Kyrie.
But also, yeah. I'm not going to say, oh, you're lonely because someone's out with an injury. Like, Carl right. is, with a full healthy roster, it is Carl, and he's like 2 tiers ahead of everybody else. Like, ESPN came out with their top 100. Mm-hmm. I know we talked about Sports Illustrated a couple weeks ago on the podcast. Robert Covington's the second highest Wolves player. Well, they're through 31. I cannot imagine any Wolves player other than Carl Anthony Towns in the top 30.
Right.
Robert Covington's the only one that's been listed at number 97. That's a ranking I think is not fair to him, and I certainly disagree with. But
rank
that
97?
But that shows you just where this roster is and just how lonely Carl is. And I think that that's something that he's going to have to carry a lot of weight here, and that could play into him being, again, a fringe MVP candidate that gets at least one vote.
That is super, super low for Robert Covington, 97. Wow.
Yes, I disagreed with that very much, though.
Strongly.
But you know what? In the same token,
I mean,
he missed so much time. I get it.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't have put him there. So give me your next bold prediction, Manny.
Next bold prediction, Jake Layman will be the Wolves' top bench scorer. I don't know how bold that is, but I can see we've talked before about Jake Layman, this sort of being an opportunity or a scenario where he can sort of break out as the type of player that at least the Wolves envision him to be. I mean, his role in Portland was just a lot different than what I would think the Wolves would have for him. And
sure.
I think he could be a guy that could be their top bench scorer this season. I would imagine there'll be a scenario where he'll probably start a few games, and just depending on the matchup, and there could be injuries and things like that.
Yeah.
But I would think he's going to be a guy that predominantly comes off the bench, and I think he has a chance to be the top scorer off the in the second unit.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think he could be in the second unit. I think he's going to play a lot because they've actually he's the one guy that they brought in this offseason other right. than Jarrett Culver that they have invested in their future in because he's on that 3-year deal where the rest of their free agent signings or trade acquisitions are guys that are going to be free agents again next summer.
Yep.
So that's something that certainly is interesting to me. I don't know if I can – how I feel about whether or not he's going to be a starter. Like that's where right. I don't know how they're going to – we know of 4 starters. We know Teague's going to start. We know Carl's going to start. We know Robert Covington's going to start. And I'm – okay, maybe we don't know Andrew Wiggins is going to start, but I am under the assumption Andrew Wiggins is going to be a starter opening night.
Mm-hmm.
So figuring out that fifth starter is kind of, I think, where your caveat lies because could it be Jake Layman? It could be. Some nights yep. it might be. It could be Noah Vonleh.
Could depend on the matchup.
Could be Jarrett Culver some nights. That's where it's interesting to me. But he could be someone that provides a scoring punch off the bench. I've talked to a couple people across the league that are excited about him as a player. They just didn't necessarily think he was all that ready in Portland. He needed time to develop, and they think that this could be a breakout year for a guy like him.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really – he's of the non-sort of core players, you know, talking about Cat and Covington and, you know, Wiggins and Teague and those guys, he's probably the most interesting non-core player because of, like you said, the investment that they made into him and what he could possibly represent as a guy that – like I said, they invested in him, and he's still a fairly young player, and this could be an opportunity for him to sort of start to come into his own yeah. as an NBA player after kind of being somewhat of an afterthought in Portland his first few years in the league.
Yeah, and that's something that's going to have to happen if he's going to lead the Wolves in bench scoring, like you said.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, what's next for you?
Next for me, we're going to go back to Andrew Wiggins here because each and every season of his career, Andrew Wiggins has attempted more mid-range jump shots than free throws. And I think that this is the first year it changes. This okay. is going to be the first year. I think he's going to set a career low in mid-range attempts and a career high in free throw attempts.
That would be
his
ideal.
His current career high in free throw attempts is 430.
Can I guess that was his rookie year?
It was not his rookie year. It was okay. the year before Jimmy Butler.
Okay, so 16-17.
I believe he averaged 7 free throws a game. I'm pretty sure that was – his rookie year was his second highest free throw mm-hmm. rate, but I'm pretty sure unless I wrote this down wrong, and I can go back and double check, he had the most free throws attempted in his career his second season in the league. That was when he had a higher usage rate and all that, but – yes, he attempted 5.3 free throws a game his second year, 4.3. Actually, the 16-17 season, he was also at 5. And then 17-18 with Jimmy Butler, it dropped to 2.5. And this past year, it was only at 2.8. I think he's going to set a career high. Or excuse me, that was free throws made.
Okay.
So 16-17, he was at 7 per game.
Okay.
And then 15-16, 7 per game, 16-17, 6.6 per game. His rookie year was at 5.7. 17-18, 3.8 free throw attempts per game. Mm-hmm. Last year, 4.1, so it marginally improved. Yeah. I think he's going to set a career high. I think he's going to be above 7 free throw attempts per game. But digging into his mid-range field goal attempts was something that was mind-blowing. he has attempted 6,510 field goals in his career. 2,172 have been mid-range attempts. And I'm going to read you from his rookie year until last year. So starting with his rookie year, ending with last year, the total mid-range jump shots that he took.
Okay.
430 as a rookie. That's a lot.
Yep.
454 as a second-year player.
So it went up.
The third year of his career, so the year before Jimmy Butler entered the picture, 588 mid-range jump shots.
Oh.
Jimmy Butler comes in, that number drops to 380 by sheer Jimmy Butler gets the ball more. Now Andrew Wiggins is the third option. And then last year was a career low at 320. I think this year it'll be lower than 320, and I think that Wiggins will shoot more than 430 free throws.
Okay. Do you think he'll take more threes than mid-range shots?
I do. I think that he'll be. I think that they will force him to take threes. I do think that there will. He'll be held accountable if he's taking bad shots over and over and over again. So, but I also think that he's going to have to be the guy that can get to the rim. I think we're going to see the most aggressive version of Andrew Wiggins than we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, he just has to. I mean, that's if you. I mean, that's just the best way you can possibly overcome some of the other shortcomings you may have in your offensive game is to get to the free throw line as much as possible.
Yes.
James Harden doesn't really have shortcomings in his game, and he gets to the free throw line at an astounding rate. So, I mean, that's something that Andrew has to start doing a lot more. All right, my third and final bold prediction. The Wolves will win 40 games this year.
Whoa! That is bold. You're taking the over on the Wolves, huh?
Yeah, and they're going to need some things to go their way.
What goes their way in this scenario, Manny? Because I don't know that I'm bought in, other than clearly you liked my Carl gets an MVP vote.
Yes, I did.
Because I think if they're going to get to 40 wins, my first bold prediction is going to have to come true.
Yes. Well, I think a couple things need to happen. I think some things need to go their way. They need to play well, obviously, and they need to find a way to win some close games that you would think that they would probably lose. Maybe some schedule games that you would think that they should lose, they find a way to win. I look at a team like Sacramento. I think they would have to hope a team like Sacramento sort of falls back a little bit.
Okay.
And maybe an injury of some sort happens to the Sacramento Kings that causes them to fall down in the standings or something like that. But I think it's possible. I'm not going to bet my money on it, but we're in the business of bold predictions on this edition of Raised by Wolves, so I'm going to say the Wolves are going to win 40 games.
Okay, that is
40 exactly.
That is interesting. Now, let me then ask you the follow-up question that I have to ask here is,
sure,
how far away from the playoffs do they finish with 40 wins? Because while saying the Wolves are going to get to 40 is bold, I don't think 40 wins is anywhere near the eighth seed in the Western Conference, because the Western Conference is just too good. It's going to, I think, I'm curious how far out of the playoffs, not necessarily in terms of seeding, like where they finish, but how many games out of a playoff spot are they on April 15th?
I mean, if you're looking at the Western Conference, it's a possibility. The eighth seed in the West, and we've seen it before, the eighth seed in the West could have 49 or 50 wins.
Yeah. It wouldn't be stunning.
We're talking 10 games, 9 or 10 games out of that eighth playoff spot. So not even the Wolves could win 40 games this year and not even be in the conversation for that eighth playoff spot.
Yeah.
Like not even be close to it.
No, their season could be over and they'd be right in the middle and hope that the same lottery rules that helped the New Orleans Pelicans last offseason helps them this offseason.
Yeah, I remember the first year that the Westbrook, Harden, Durant, Thunder were really good. The first year they made the playoffs, they won 50 games. I think they went 50-32 that year.
Yeah.
And they were an eight seed against, they lost in the first round to the Lakers in six.
There was one year where I think the eight seed finished with like 52 wins. This was back in the mid-2000s. You would know better than I before I go to look this up, but it the West can just get crazy.
Yeah, I mean it's just loaded, and you know, and I've said before too that I think it's possible for the Wolves to finish in sort of the middle of the pack of the teams that don't make the playoffs, and look better than what their record shows. So maybe they might not win 40 games, but I could see them winning 34 or 35 games but looking better at it than your prototypical team that finishes 12 or 13 games under 500.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility, but this schedule is
it's grueling.
It's going brutal. To be very, very difficult, and I'm trying to figure out what year that was, but I want to say that the 8 seed 1 year had.
I know for sure that I think it was 2009, or no, it was 2010. The Thunder finished, I think they finished 50 and 32, and they were the 8 seed, and they lost.
In 09, the Jazz were the 8 seed with 48 wins.
Okay.
That's bonkers.
Yeah. 2000.
And then, 2010, the Oklahoma City Thunder had 50 wins and got the 8 seed.
It was Russ's second year in the league, KD's third.
That's crazy.
Their second year in Oklahoma City.
I'm curious how close we get to that this year. Because It wouldn't be the most surprising thing in the world.
Well, it's like you look at the West, okay, Golden State's not going to have Klay Thompson for a while, but I got to think with Steph and Draymond, they'll probably find a way to 50 wins, right?
Got to be close. I don't know. I'm kind of bearish on the Warriors just because their margin for error is so thin. And I've said that over and over and over on this podcast, where if one thing goes wrong for Steph, which it has so many times, so many years, like he's tweaked an ankle or whatever, if he misses 10 games, where's that put them?
Right.
And the D'Angelo Russell fit, I think, will go well, but it'll be interesting. And Draymond Green can't afford to be what Draymond Green's been for the last few years. Like, Draymond Green lost 20 pounds in the month of March last year to get ready for the playoffs. Draymond Green's got to be that guy in 2 weeks.
Games.
Yeah, and I don't know that Draymond's body has it in him anymore. I know mentally he can because I think Draymond is a warrior, whatever you want to call him. I think he is that type of guy. But it concerns me whether or not his body can hold up. And you know what? They've been to the finals 5 years in a row. That's a lot
of
on
basketball.
You. That's a lot of miles on your legs. It wears on you mentally and emotionally. And maybe they get a kickstart from Kevin Durant leaving and them getting their quote-unquote team back. But also the question of when Klay Thompson's going to come back and how does he look when he's back on the floor. Like, all of those things. If I were to make a super bold prediction about the rest of the NBA, it might be that the Warriors miss the playoffs. I don't know that I believe it, but it's bold, and it's a prediction. So,
yeah. Okay, so very quick exercise. I'll name a team in the Western Conference, and you tell me if they win 50 games or not.
Okay.
Denver?
Yes.
Portland?
No.
Okay.
All right, I'll say Portland gets close.
Like 48?
47, yeah.
47, 48. Okay. Houston?
Yes.
Utah.
Yes.
We just talked about Golden State. San Antonio.
No. They get close, though. They're closer than people realize. I think they're going to be better than people realize. I really do. Especially, I mean, part of it depends on how DeJounte Murray looks coming off the torn ACL, but I think that they're a playoff team again, man. Until they miss the playoffs, I'm going to call them a playoff team. I'm not going to be the guy. I know the thing is, I'd rather be a year early than a year late with the Spurs. I will not be that.
They're just like the Patriots, man. It's just like you just, until Tom Brady falls off,
until
cannot predict that he's going to fall off.
Until Greg Popovich, even though I did exactly that on a write that down on Mackie and Jed with Romney this year, I did exactly that. But until Greg Popovich is gone, I'm going to trust that the Spurs are going to be in the playoffs.
Okay, Lakers.
Yes.
Clippers.
Yes.
And that's about it. I can't envision. So you said Denver, Houston, Utah, Clippers, Lakers, that's five.
There's an avenue for the Warriors to get there. The Blazers could get there.
Yep.
I'm high on Dallas, but I don't think Dallas can get to 50. I think they can be around 46, 47.
Right.
I think San Antonio can get close. I don't see them getting there. I'm trying to think.
I think that's about it.
Okay,
so New Orleans will be fun, but they're not going
to
win.
No, they're not
games.
Getting to 50. Memphis is getting to 60 losses, potentially.
I don't think Memphis has any interest in winning 50 games this year.
No, they don't.
Phoenix certainly doesn't. So we're probably looking at five or six teams in the West.
But I think, like, you could have 46 wins and miss the playoffs.
Yep.
Like, I think Dallas could win 46 games and not be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
And that goes back to the Wolves. The Wolves could win 40 games and not even factor into...
Not even be discussed.
Not even be in
the
conversation.
March.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's something.
Yeah. So, all right, is that it?
I got one more.
Oh, yeah.
I got one more bold prediction. I think that two players on the Timberwolves will break the franchise record for 3-point field goal attempts in a season.
Hmm.
The current franchise record is held by Kevin Love in the 13-14 season, so it was last year in Minnesota.
Yep.
He attempted 505 threes that season.
Okay.
I think both Karl Anthony Towns and Robert Covington break that record. Robert Covington, had he his numbers in the game that he games that he played for the Wolves, he attempted enough three-pointers where if you put that as a full season, he breaks the record. Now, he's got to stay healthy to do it.
Yep.
But I believe he was pacing for 549 three-pointers attempted over an 82-game stretch. So I think that I think he gets there because I don't see that number going down at all. I think Carl's number is going to rise close to six. A little over six, maybe. I think that I think Robert Covington is the one with the most 3-pointers attempted on the Wolves, and I think that both he and Karl Anthony Towns shoot more than 505 threes this year.
I think, especially in the case of Cat, I think it's almost a necessity
to
take that many. I mean, he's the best 3-point shooter on the team, and when he's the only guy that you know can consistently hit at a 40% clip on the team, I mean, it makes sense for him to take at least 500.
Yeah. I can't believe there's never been 505 is the record. Second place is Isaiah Ryder, 94-95 at 396. So no one's ever come close to it. And that record stood for almost 20 years. It stood for 19 years before someone shot over 400 threes in a season.
That's the story.
Steph Curry
franchise,
made 400 threes in a season not too long ago.
I know.
And the Wolves have only had one season where. I also think both those guys will break – one of those guys will break the record for most three-pointers made in a season because Kevin Love set it that year with 190 makes.
Yeah. I would think – well, I would think if Cat takes at least 500, he'll probably hit 200.
So
that's 40%.
Yeah. Last year, Carl made 142 threes, which it puts you in a good place, and that was on 355 attempts, shooting 40%. So if he breaks the record for attempts, he will also shatter the record for makes too. So that makes sense. But good bold predictions. I think that some of them certainly could come true.
Yeah, we'll see how it turns out. I mean, this team is in a weird place, but there are pieces here that I think can be that people can be optimistic about. I think they're still just a ways away just from even if they reach, I think, what their peak could be this year, which is 40 wins. I mean, it's still not going to be even close to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think that's – I think if that happens, I think it's a sign at least that there is something there and there's obviously a few more moves that would need to be made over the next couple of years. But if they can find a way to win 40 games, I think it means that Carl had a really good season – that Ryan had a really good season coaching, and that Gerson Rosas, at least considering the hand of cards that he was dealt, has turned this team at least into a team that can kind of compete with teams in the West. So.
Yeah, agree with that. So that might have a couple more bold predictions up on the website too at scorenorth.com soon. I'm going to certainly write about at least a couple ones that I name. I might write about one of the ones that Manny had, as well as a couple other ones I have stirring around in my brain. I'm not quite ready to have out there because I'm not sure how to word it, but there are a couple other ones that I'm thinking about that could be possibilities or bold predictions in the wrong way. They could be something that doesn't happen. That could be bold too. So, but this has been Raised by Wolves. That's Manny Hill. I'm Danny Cunningham. We will have another podcast. I believe later this week we're going to record again, myself and Dane Moore. So be sure to check that out. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your listening material, or the all-new Score North mobile app. Be sure to download that for your Android or Apple devices because we are everywhere and it's free for right now. So check that out and we'll talk to you next time.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's.
Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.